ध्यायामोद्रलापकुण्डलपतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धावाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 34th shloka of Saundilhari. So in this shloka, Shankara speaks about a particular type of relation that is present in the world, and in particular Ramanuja's philosophy or Vishishtadvaitam preaches this particular relationship between Ishvara and the devotee. So the relation between Ishvara and Bhakta is represented in a particular form. But we can also imagine this relationship as between the Jiva and Brahman. So Jiva is only a reflection, whereas Brahman is real. So this relationship is termed as Shesha Sheshi Bhavam. So one is Sheshaha, the other is Sheshi. So Sheshaha is the body, Sheshi is that which controls the body. So body and Atman, Sheshaha Sheshi Bhavam, body and Atman. Similar is the relationship between Shiva and Shakti. That's what Shankara says here. So the relationship between Shiva and Shakti is the relationship between the body and the person who controls the body. So the body is not real, the body doesn't have any sentience, whereas the person who controls the body has sentience. He even gives sentience to the body as well. His own sentience is transferred to the body, thereby the body appears to be sentient. So in the very first shloka of Saundarilahari itself, Shankara had said, Shiva Shaktya Yukto Yadi Bhavati Shaktaha Prabhavitam. So Shiva is able to move because of Devi. So that means Devi is the power behind Shiva. So here body and Devi. So body is Shiva and the Atman is Devi. So this is a way of telling that body and Atman go together. So Shiva and Shakti, Sharirardham Shambho Raparam Api. So Shankara said that Devi is not content with half the body of Shiva. She took the entire body of Shiva. That means she pervades Shiva. Similarly, the Atman pervades the body. So Atman pervades not only one body, but the entire world is pervaded by the Atman. So here, the body is the body, and the Atman are not same. We shouldn't interpret in a wrong sense. So body as the Nama Rupam is not there. Body as the substratum of consciousness is the Atman. So whenever we say Sarvam Brahmamayam, whenever we say the world is Brahman, it doesn't mean that the world as such is Brahman. World as such cannot be Brahman, because world as such has contradicting nature with respect to Brahman. Brahman is changeless, Brahman is Nityam, whereas the world is anityam. Brahman is blissful sukham, whereas the world is asukham. Brahman is changeless, whereas the world is changing. So the Brahman is one, whereas the world is many. So the world as such cannot be Brahman. The body as such is not the Atman, but the world, if we remove Namarupam from the world in its substratum, when we take out the differentiation in the world, in the objects of the world, then what will remain behind is the substratum of Atman. So that is what is meant by telling that body and Atman are one. So Ramana Maharshi says, initially the seeker separates the Nitya Vastu from the Anitya Vastu, which is called Vivekam. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam, as Shankara says. So Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam, which is Nityam, which is Anityam. So we say Brahman is Nityam, Jagat is Mithya, Jagat is Anityam. But then what happens after the sadhaka progresses? Finally he realizes that everything is Brahman. Even the world that he saw is Brahman. So the world as such is not Brahman, but vision of the world changes. A jnani doesn't see the world as Namarupam, he sees the world as the substratum of Brahman, even as a goldsmith sees gold ornaments as gold and as not the various ornaments themselves. So that is the vision. So initially we have to split the world, mithya, what is mithya from real, then we will realize that even mithya was real. So this is way of telling, the scriptures way of telling that the world, if you think that Jagat is mithya and you have to negate it, understand, you don't have to negate it, you cannot negate it. Negation of the world doesn't mean you have to go to a place and sit, you have to go take sannyas, you have to get away from the world. But then the world can never be negated because it doesn't exist. So know the world to be Brahman. The moment you know the world to be Brahman, the world ceases to exist. That is what is called as Shesha Sheshi Bhavam, body and Atman, relationship between body and Atman. So the relationship is, Ramanuja speaks about Shesha Sheshi Bhavam with respect to the Jiva and Brahman, whereas here Shankara goes one step further, body and Atman. He says Shakti and Shiva are like body and Atman, and they are one, they are not separate. So both body and Atman are same. Whatever is there as mithya in the world, whatever is there as mithya in the substratum of Brahman is Brahman alone. That's what Shankara wants to point out here. That means that what Shankara wants to really point out is that everything is Brahman, irrespective of whatever we see, irrespective of whether we see duality, whether we see Brahman or we see the world, everything is Brahman. Whether we accept it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we implement it or not, whether we view or have such a vision or not, it doesn't matter. Reality remains the reality. Whether we see the animal in front of us as a horse or a donkey, it doesn't matter. It remains a horse. If it is a horse, it remains a horse, irrespective of our vision. So we may see a donkey and think that it's a horse, but it remains a donkey, irrespective of whether we see it right or not. So that's what Shankara wants to point out here. So the deeper import of this shloka is that everything is Brahman. Even the world that is seen, the world that is unreal, that is termed as mithya, that is also Brahman, because only Brahman exists here. This shloka is set in the raga called Kedaram. So Kedaram is considered a romantic and beautiful, a soft kind of raga which suits the mind. So the shloka goes like this. Shariram Tvam Shambho Shashimihira Vakchoruhayugam Tavatmanan Manye Bhagavati Navatmanamanagam Atashesheshi Tyayam Baya Sadharanataya. Titas Sambandovam Samarasa Parananda Parayo. The third line, I sang it wrong, so that's fine. You can listen to my father singing and correct it. The third line, Atah Sheshah Sheshi, that's, I sang it in a wrong way. So let's enter into the meaning of the shloka. Just one thing before that. There is a very popular song called in one of the hit comedy movies of Kamal Haasan, called Michael Madana Kamarajan. So one of the song there, Sundari Neem, there's a song called Sundari Neem. So that song is set in this particular raga. So Shankara praises Devi. So manye means I am thinking, I am considering, I am contemplating. I am contemplating Bhagavati. Oh Bhagavati, oh Devi. So Bhagavati means Bhaga. Bhaga, the word Bhaga means Aishwaryam. So Aishwarya, Om Aishwarya Virya Kirti Sri Jnana Vairagya Veshmane Namaha. This is one of the Nama of Amma, Amma's Nama, Ashtotra Shatam of Amma says it. So Aishwarya Virya Kirti Sri Jnana Vairagyam. These are called six Aishwaryam, Aishwaryas, six auspicious qualities. So Bhagha, Bhagha means auspicious qualities, these Aishwaryas. Bhagavati means one who controls, one who has this Aishwarya, who is filled with all Aishwaryas. So as per Madhvacharya, Ishvara or Vishnu is denote or qualified by two ways. One is he is devoid of all negative gunas, and the second is he is filled with all auspicious gunas. So that's how he interprets it there. So here Bhagavati or Bhagavan, wherever we hear it, that means all Aishwaryam, all positive qualities, all auspicious qualities, Mangala qualities, qualities that will lead us in the spiritual path, qualities that will lead us to the goal of moksha, qualities that will help us in remaining blissful. They are called Bhaga. So a person who has those qualities always has, his very nature is those qualities, he is called Bhagavan. And if it is a lady, she is called Bhagavati. So, O Bhagavati, O Devi. O Devi, who is filled with all auspicious qualities. So, all auspicious qualities means she is one with Brahman. She is one with all-pervading Brahman. So, O Bhagavati, Shashi Mihira Vakshoruha Yugam. So, you who are endowed with Shashi Mihira Vakshoruha Yugam. So here Shankara is comparing Devi's breasts with Shashi and Mihira. So Shankara is telling your breasts are Shashi, Surya and Chandra. So O Devi, who are endowed with breasts which is Shashi and Mihira. So sun and the moon, Suryan and Chandran. So, Tvam, such a Tvam, you, Shambhoho means to Paramashiva or for Paramashiva, Shariram, Anagham Shariram, Navatmanam, Anagham Shariram. So, for Paramashiva or of Paramashiva, Navatmanam Anagham Shariram. So Navatmanam means like filled with nine Vyuha. Vyuha means surrounded by nine things. That is what means. So surrounded by, we can say Ganas as well, or we can just consider as nine things, like nine people or entities surrounding him. So Sache Anagham Shariram Shambhoho. So that Shambhu, or with that Shambhu, whose shariram, who is anagham. So anagham means without any, anagham, the word anagha generally means without any impurities. So anagham means like without any bound, without any limits. So Paramashiva, and his body has no limits, and it is surrounded by nine peers or nine followers, we can say. And tava, your atmanam, your body. So I consider your body. So your body, I consider your body to be Sadashiva, Sadashiva's body. So that means you are the Atman and Sadashiva is your body. So that Sadashiva, whose body itself is like Anagham Navatmanam, such a body, Such a Sadashiva who is endowed with such a body, he is your body. Thus I see you. So I see your body, like your body, which is like, which has breasts, which is which are the sun and the moon. That body I find it, like I see it as Sadashiva or Sadashiva's body. Both way is fine. So this relationship, so this particular relationship, this is how I see it. So we can say it like, the Sheshaha Sheshi that Shankara is using next, it generally means like the body and the Atman are like the word Sheshaha and Sheshi. Sheshaha means which is removed, and Sheshi, one which remains behind. So remaining, like one which we remove and one which remains behind. That's the meaning here. So with that perspective, it means Sadashiva's body, the Devi's body is Sadashiva. But Shankara says that I consider both as same. So in one perspective, I see your body as Sadashiva, and in another perspective, I see Sadashiva as your body. So both I see. So Shambho ho Shariram. So Tvam, you are Shambhu Sharira. I see you as Shambhu Sharira, and I see Shambhu as your Sharira. I see such a way, Manye. I see such a way. So Ataha, therefore, because of this Sheshaha Sheshi Iti, Sheshaha Sheshi, this Sheshaha and Sheshi Iti, thus Sambandham, I am Sambandha. This relationship, so Sheshi Ityayam Sambandha Samarasa Parananda Parayoho, which is like, which is the relationship between Shiva and Shakti. So that the name for such a god, like this particular portrayal of Devi and Shiva, so they are called Bhairava and Bhairavi. So it's a very weird kind of devata, a fierce devata. We'll come to that. So this particular form, which is filled with anandam, so vam, in you both, ubhaya sadharnataya stitaha, it is present naturally, generally in both of you. So that means you both are there in each other. So generally shesha sheshi bhavam, maybe I have got it a little bit wrong here. So generally shesha sheshi bhavam means like relationship between body, which is that which is controlled, and when we remove the body, what remains behind, which is the Atman. So body here means like everything, body, mind, intellect, everything, and then the Atman, what remains behind. But here we can say there is a relationship of such a relationship, there is a mutual relationship between both. So that means Devi is in Sadashiva, Sadashiva is in Devi. So it's like telling the world is in Brahman and Brahman is in the world. So initially I explained that it's one way around, that the world is Brahman. That's one way of seeing it. Another way of seeing is the Brahman is in the world, because Brahman is alone there in the world. The world as we see, whether we see it as Namarupam or not, it has Brahman and Brahman alone. Even as science, whatever objects we see, science says that there is nothing there but molecules are going, the atoms, molecules and all those things, and energy, that's only there everywhere. Whatever we see, it's a group of molecules in a particular pattern, in a particular position, in a particular composition. That's what science also says. So here it means that the world is nothing but Brahman. So Brahman is there in the world is there in Brahman. How is the world there in Brahman? World has to be there in Brahman, because whenever we see the world Namarupam, it has to be in Brahman. So one is vision with respect to the illusory vision and the other is real vision. When we see the Brahman in the world, that means we have right vision. Even if we have the wrong vision of world, that world exists in Brahman. It ultimately doesn't exist. Like, oh, is world there in Brahman? Are Namarupam really there in Brahman? No, they are not there. Ultimately, there is only Brahman. But the moment we are now speaking about two entities, one is Brahman and the world. That itself means we are under illusion. We are speaking from a Vyavaharika level, not Paramarthika level. Therefore, both are there. When both are there, the world is also in Brahman. It's like telling the dream world is in the dreamer. It's a valid statement, but it has its own illogical arguments. So it has its own illogicalities. I don't know whether there is such a word called logicality, but it has its own like illogical problems. Because the dream world itself is not there. Then how can you say the dream world is there in the dreamer? We cannot say that, but assuming we see the dream world, assuming the dream world exists temporarily, we say the dream world is in dreamer. So we have at the empirical level, the world exists in Brahman. Ultimately, that it doesn't, but both ways it goes. That means this form of Shiva being Devi's body and Devi being Shiva's body, that means both coexist. Body and Atman coexist. That's one way of seeing it. Another way of seeing it is that both Devi and Sadashiva both coexist. They are, like Shankara has already said, like in many other shlokas, but here he gives it quite a different perspective. So when I say both Devi and Sadashiva are one, so the moment we say they are different, that means like Shiva is Devi's body or Devi is Shiva's body. That is the relationship. So relationship between body and Atman, that is the relationship between Devi and Sadashiva. Mutual relationship. Like it's not that it's the same kind of relationship between world and Brahman. So Brahman is in the world is in Brahman. From Vyavaharika level, Brahman is there in the world is there in Brahman. It's a mutual relationship, mutual existence or coexistence as is normally used. So that's how it exists. Ultimately, there is only Brahman, but at the Vyavaharika level, both exist. That means that the more and more we are in the spiritual path, we need to get rid of all sorts of limitations, all sorts of restrictions. So we may say, oh, I cannot eat onion. I hate it. Like it, I don't like it. I cannot be without eating food. I cannot fast for a day. I cannot be without sleeping for a day. So some things might be good. Like, okay, I cannot be without sleeping. Why? Because I have to meditate. I cannot remain without meditation, therefore I cannot sleep. So I cannot remain without meditation. That there it is an attachment to meditation. Any sadhana. So Ramakrishna Paramahansa used to give the example of an iron chain and a gold chain. So iron chain binds you and it hurts you as well, whereas gold chain just binds you, doesn't hurt you, but still it is a bondage. So spiritual sadhana, the sadhana that we do in order to realize Brahman through purification of the mind, the sadhana that doesn't give us Brahman, the sadhana that doesn't give us knowledge which directly gives us Brahman but indirectly helps us in the path, which means indirectly helping us in chitta shuddhi, in concentration and all. So all these sadhanas, all sadhanas except jnanam doesn't directly help in realization. But since it doesn't directly help in realization, it's also a bondage. After realizing, a person cannot say, after completing 10th standard, a person cannot say, oh, I am attached to 10th standard, I still want to be here. He cannot stay there because he has crossed it. The moment we cross the spiritual path, even spiritual sadhana, which is like a gold chain, it's also a bondage, we have to get rid of it. That means we shouldn't get attached to anything in the world. The only way to get rid of attachment completely is by seeing everything as Brahman. The moment we see everything as Brahman, will not have any raga dvesham. When we don't have any raga dvesham, then this is automatically followed. That is possible when we see everything as Brahman. So the world as Brahman, Brahman as the world. World in Brahman, Brahman in world. When we see that, we'll not have any limitation. Today I didn't learn Saundarya Lahari. I feel miserable. It is good. It is a good resolution to have that I should learn Saundarya Lahari daily. But having a resolution to do it and getting attached to it, both are different. So we may do spiritual sadhana, but it shouldn't become a bondage. It's like telling I like driving, so I drive to my office. Though it is just a walking distance, yet I drive in my car to office. But I like my car a lot. Therefore, after reaching office, I will not get rid of the car. I'll stay in the car. We cannot say that. That's not how life goes. Similar is the case with spiritual sadhanas as well. Like, we shouldn't go to both extremes. So this doesn't just because shastras say that spiritual sadhanas are gold bondage, we cannot say, oh, I don't want spiritual sadhana. Why? Because it's also a bondage. I know it's a bondage, so why should I go behind it? So that's the view that a person who doesn't think much, an idiotic person would take. So that's not how we should take it. We need to do our sadhana, but our life or our goal shouldn't be just sadhana. We need to understand, we need to remember that the goal to be achieved, which is moksha, which is realization, is not spiritual sadhana. Spiritual sadhanas just help us in the goal. These are the paths. That's the reason why jnana or brahmatmaikya jnanam, realizing I am Brahman, that knowledge of I am Brahman, that aparoksha jnanam is the final goal. Everything else is a sadhana. The bhakti that we know, dvaita bhakti, karma, raja yoga, learning scripture, which is jnanam, paroksha jnanam, all those are margam. They are the path. Jnanam or aparoksha jnanam alone is the goal. Everything else is the path. The path is never one with goal. Paths can be many, but the goal can only be one. Whatever path we take, the goal has to be one. So we should remember the goal while taking any path. While following any path, we need to remember the goal. That's what Shankara says here. The goal is important. We have to remember the goal, and the easy way to remember the goal and implement it in all actions, whatever we do, is by remembering that the world is in Brahman and Brahman is in the world. Maya tatam idam sarvam avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastitah nacha matstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram. So in the 4th and 5th shloka of the 9th chapter, Krishna says the same thing. Maya tatam idam sarvam avyakta murtina. I forgot one line there. So everything is pervaded by me. Nacha matstani bhutani, but all the beings are not in me. So I pervade the entire world, but the world is not in me. So the world may seem to be in me, but still it's not in me. So it's like telling I pervade the entire world, the world is in me, but it's not really in me. So that's the philosophy. It's like the dream world. So the dream world is in the dreamer, but in reality there is no dream world, therefore there is no dream world in the dreamer. But that's the paramarthikam or ultimate viewpoint. But while seeing the world, while perceiving the world, we have to remember that everything is Brahman, there is only Brahman. So the nama rupam, the duality, bhedam, everything is in Brahman, and Brahman is in that bhedam. And this way of seeing Brahman in bhedam, whatever bhedam we have, seeing Brahman in bhedam, that is a bheda darshanam. Or having vision of oneness, vision of non-duality. And that will take us to the goal of moksha. That is what Shankara here indirectly hints through saying that Shiva is Devi's body, and Devi is Shiva's body, or Shesha Sheshi Bhavam. Both ways, mutual Shesha Sheshi Bhavam. And regarding the Samarasa Parananda Parayoho, so Bhairavan and Bhairavi. So the form, like, we can also interpret it as Napumsakam or eunuchs, like, who are partly male and partly female. So that means both exist together. So above, like, it's kind of interpretation of Kali. So Kali is supposed to be above the waist woman and below the waist man. So that's how Kali, that's why she's said to be fierce. So it's not that commonly known, but we can say that Bhairava and Bhairavi both together, that means this kind of form as well. That means both are there, both exist both together or both coexist. So there can be other interpretations as well, like, we just need to know what Shankara is directly telling and what he is indirectly hinting at. So it means, like, O Devi, I see you as Sadashiva's body and Sadashiva as your body, this relationship, Shesha Sheshi Bhavam. So this mutual coexistence is what I see. And that mutual coexistence gives Anandam to both of you, because you are of the nature of Anandam. And you both coexist. There is no fight, there is no argument, there is no I am great or you are great. And this has to be related with respect to world and Brahman. The world is in Brahman, Brahman is in the world, both coexist. And this will in turn, like, lead us to Samabhavana or Abheda Darshanam, viewing oneness everywhere, non-duality everywhere, or equality. I don't know whether the pronunciation is right, equality, vision of equality that Shastras speak about, seeing oneness everywhere. And if we follow that, like, we will get Samarasa Paranandam, so mutual Anandam. So we'll find Anandam everywhere. Not only we will be filled with Anandam, but we'll feel as if everything is filled with Anandam. That's the culmination, that's the goal to be achieved in life. We'll continue with the next shloka, the next thing. Hari Om.